Welcome to the Near Post Local, football and futsal in the capital region, where too much football or futsal is never likely to be enough. I'm Peter Funnell.
I'm speaking to Ed Hollis, the head coach of Woden Valley Women's Football Club, and they've just come off a stellar season. And we thought we might catch up with Ed after the grand finals. There's been time to reflect on the season proper and stop celebrating, I suppose. How are you going, Ed?
Yeah, very good, Peter, very good.
People are getting their lives back in order after a long football season?
Well, I guess a little hard with our team because I think we only had three drinking age in the final 16 that
were on the,
well said. the squad. So we ended up sort of going back to a restaurant, and I think everyone, we were looking for more of the good breweries to go back to rather than the pub. But I think the girls did, they did celebrate in their own ways, and there were some really emotional kids there, and they had a great time afterwards, that's for sure.
Yeah, look, if we just take ourselves back to the grand final, I know one game's not everything in a season. It exemplified just what had been going on at Woden Women's Football Club in the Premier League. Now you've had time to reflect back on it. What were the outstanding features of the season?
Well, I think for us it was a learning season this year, and we've always looked at it, the coaches looked at it as a learning season, and we tried to introduce the 1-4-3-3 this year, and
yep.
It didn't work very well in the Fed Cup final, as everyone saw, and we got absolutely pumped by Bell West, who were certainly much superior on the day. And then we just, you know, again, it was at the time most of the players were very anti the system. They didn't want to play that way. They wanted to go back with a normal way of playing with a sweeper at the back. And so it took the coaching staff a lot of convincing, and slowly throughout the season, the players eventually bought into the fact that this was the way to play, and it was the way that suited Woden and the type of players that we had, and we could play a very good, attractive brand of football with this. And very, very slowly we got better and better and better, and I think our results against Bell West, who are certainly the yardstick, and certainly, I mean, they won the minor premiership and they certainly deserve that. They were the yardstick, and every time we played them we got better and better and better, and I really did think that towards the end of the season, we had the momentum going, and it came out that way for us in the grand final, and it was a fantastic game. But so for us as a coaching staff, that was probably the main thing, that it did take a long while for the players to buy in and realise that this was the system for us to play, and in the end, I think they're all happy to play that system now. And there was one stage of the year I tried to switch them back to a 4-4-2, and they were lost. So. I think it's ingrained there now, and we just need to keep pushing that system throughout, you know, the rest of our teams as well.
As you look back, from a coach's perspective, what did the 1-4-3-3 system of play, if we sort of give it its glib title, what did that offer the players?
Well, I think it gave the players a chance to really express themselves, and I mean, we were looking to play the ball out from the back at every opportunity. We were looking to hold possession. We thought we were a reasonably good side who could play, but we wanted to maintain possession. And then this system gave us the ability to do that. So I guess that we were looking that every chance our keeper got the ball was not to kick, was could she throw out, could we lay a ball out to someone. And it was teaching our fullbacks to get wide, and if they got picked up, then the three or the four in the centre would take possession, and then we could play. So we're certainly not a huge team that can battle for things in the air. And Bell West would have it all over us, and Bell Connum would have it all over us if we tried to play an aerial type of game. So our whole plan throughout the season was to play the ball on the deck and keep possession, and I think that worked really well for us. So I guess that's, you know, that was the thing that it gave the players the chance to express themselves. We also tried to play an attacking brand of football, and our two wide players, we actually said to them, most of the time we really don't want you defending. We'll back you. Stay up high, and let's put the pressure on the opposition teams. So again, it was just putting faith in our players and saying, when you can, let's go forward, let's go at teams, let's attack teams, and if they score three against us, then we reckon we can score five against you. And that, I guess, was the philosophy throughout the whole three grades. Now, it was allowing the players to play at their best.
And I think that's just worth rolling back to the start for the listener that might not have picked up previous interviews. in the Women's Premier League, of course, there's a Premier League top team, a reserves and a Premier League 18s.
Correct, yeah.
That's the format for Women's Premier League in total at each club. You were playing the entire three teams, every player across that entire roster, in this system of play, correct?
Correct. Well, we decided that if we've got such a young team that, you know, virtually I think that probably 75% of our Premier League side that played in the grand final could have played in the morning's under-18s grand final.
Yeah.
And so we had an enormous change around of personnel moving from one grade to another. We didn't have three set sides.
Mm.
So we decided the most important thing for us was to actually have all our teams playing exactly the same brand of football. So if you're a left fullback or a number five in under-18s and you get pulled up to reserve grade or first grade, you knew what your job was and you knew what everyone else's job around you was.
Mm.
And that certainly made things easier when we needed to move players around. Everybody knew the same system and we were playing the same system.
Mm.
So I think that was really important. That was a help for us to win the actual club championship itself, was the fact that we were all doing that, all coaching staff were on the same page. And it didn't matter who was actually coaching which team, it was the same pattern of play. So the basics were all the building blocks were put in place.
Yes, I emphasise this because I don't think any other club, to my knowledge anyway, took such a holistic approach across all their teams and coaching staff.
Well, I think you have to. I really do. I think at this level now that you have to combine all three of those teams. You can't just have set teams. And it worked really well for us as a squad. Woden, everyone has a squad number, and our players draw a number out of a hat. And the whole time they're at Woden, that's the number they are. So some of our Premier League stars are number 48, and some of our under-18s, new kids, are number 1, 2, and 3. So we just treat the three teams as a whole, as a squad, and they mix together better and they play better football together. It's a formula that certainly worked this year for us. Hopefully it will continue to work in years to come. And I really, you know, I think most clubs should be trying to go to that sort of format.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. It's a very collegiate approach.
Again, we're lucky in that we had enough coaches, and I think it's the staff that you have, and we were lucky to have a coaching staff of five coaches across the three grades, which certainly helps you to do that sort of thing. So, yeah, certainly it's worked for us, so we'll be certainly sticking with it next year.
Yeah, and as we look at this system and style of play, if we just step back and go forward from the goalkeeper. Now, the goalkeepers obviously train with and separately. Is that the way you organise it?
Well, we'd love to do that. In fact, we're probably doing a fair bit of work with Paul Jones, Matilda's goalkeeper, this year. As at this stage, we haven't had the luxury of having a pure goalkeeping coach, but it's certainly something that we're looking at doing. But in saying that, you really need your goalkeepers to be training with their feet, because in the 1-4-3-3, that's what they call it, mine, your goalkeeper's actually got to be a field player for you. And if your goalkeeper doesn't have good feet, she can't play in the system, because we rely on her as someone that we can play the ball and should feel comfortable in playing the ball back to, and then she can move the ball out the other side. So certainly your goalkeeper needs to be a good foot player as well. So our goalkeepers play all of our small-sided games outside of the field. They'll do their own goalkeeper training, but when we're playing small-sided games, they're certainly involved in those, because we want them actually being able to use their feet and being comfortable, and having the other players feel comfortable to play the ball back to them.
Ah, good point. Now, come a layer forward to that back four. Let's pick off the two centre backs.
The three and the four, yep.
Yeah. Now, what would you say about those? What are the characteristics of the players you're looking for there and their sort of
role?
Well,
I think the days of the big defender that can just defend are pretty much gone. You need to have a three and four that are both very mobile, and at least one of them needs to be able to come forward with confidence with the ball and distribute it.
Mm.
So one of the, at least, we'd prefer it to be two players, but you don't always have that, you know, you don't always have that in your players. But one of the three and four must be comfortable enough on the ball to come forward and start linking with the six and eight in midfield, or being able to distribute the ball well for you from those positions. Because generally we try and go wide to the two or the five, the two fullbacks, but if they get pegged in, then it's got to be the three or the four that will receive the ball from the goalkeeper and be able to come forward with the ball.
Yeah.
So they must be ball-playing people as well. So, you know, I guess it's almost at that stage of saying sort of total football. You can't have someone slow and big at the back. They they certainly need to be mobile and have good feet and be good on the ball.
That's a big change for us in recent times, isn't it?
Oh, I think it is, and you know, the days of hiding the person who wasn't, you know, wasn't very skillful at the back are pretty much gone.
Oh,
if you
yeah.
want to try and play this system, because it certainly, you know, you right across the back line, your two fullbacks and your three and four have to be skillful players. So you know, it again promotes that total football. It, really, if you're a good footballer, you should be able to play in almost any position on the field.
Yeah. Now let's take the two wide players, the left and right back. What are you looking for there? What's your first thought when you have to pull someone out of the group to make up the card?
It's a tough position, that one, because you've got to have pretty good engines.
Mm.
I guess what we're looking at without playing a sweeper, if the ball's on the right side flank, then you're really looking at the left side fullback to be your sweeper and to tuck in.
Mm.
So we're asking our right sided fullback to get out and defend quickly, our three and four then shuffle across. And then the five on the other side becomes the eyes and ears of the defence with the goalkeeper to call for offsides and really be that sweeper on that far side.
Mm.
So it's sort of a sliding bowl type defence that we have.
Mm.
At the same time, we want to encourage with the ball our fullbacks to get forward if they can and play 1-2s maybe with the two middle players, the 6 and the 8, and see if they can get forward and link in with the wingers or the other forwards.
Now, do you find it...
It's a fairly demanding job. You've got to be up and down, up and down, up and down.
You find that position hard to fill?
Oh, well, in first grade, we've got two exceptional players. I guess one of the other talents that they must have is the ability to knock a long ball, and particularly a diagonal ball, because if you're going to play it from the back and teams really decide to press you and really push you and squeeze you for space, then your two fullbacks need to be able to knock long diagonal balls to the opposite winger so that... You know, if teams are going to push you, then there's always a chance that you're going to have that ball over the top to be played. So it is quite a difficult position to fill, but we're lucky that we've got a couple of good players in those positions. We've got Emma Thornton, who's probably got one of the sweetest left foots in the business, and Aaron Fruin, who's our older statesman at 24 in our team, who's a very, very experienced player and maybe not as fit as what she was when she was 18, but certainly is a little bit more crafty than a lot of the players that she plays against. So we've got two good players in those positions, certainly in first grade.
If we come forward now, Ed, into the midfield,
yep.
Did you play point forward or point back?
We played point forward. Again, we were looking at being ultra-attacking and wanting to get forward, and our whole purpose was to score goals. And if you have someone of the calibre of Grace Field, who's, you know, right up there, she was player of the league the year before, and if you've got her in your side, she's that X-factor player, and we certainly wanted to use her ability in that point forward position, so that's generally where she was playing. Unfortunately, she missed a lot of the year through ACTAS and through the fact that she got glandular fever, so we ended up having to play another player there, but once we started playing that way, we were quite happy playing point forward and having the 10 having a really active role playing with the 9 up front.
Yeah. Now, the two that sit at the back of the triangle, just to remind the listener when we're talking point forward, if they can see the midfield as being a triangle of three and the apex of the triangle is forward, so we're saying point forward, that's what we're meaning. The two at the back, the left and right midfielder.
Yep. 6 and 8, the dog's bodies.
Yeah. Now, what's their assignment?
Well, defensively, you really want them going box to box. You don't want them outside of that area. And
yep.
and basically, as a team, it's a pretty standard strategy, was to defend by pushing teams out wide. We really didn't want to get teams in the middle, allow them through the middle.
Yep.
So 6 and 8's job is to stay in contact with each other at all the times, but shuffling across, making sure that we didn't allow people into that middle area when they were defending.
Mm.
So, those two needed to be communicating really well with each other and with the 3 and 4 to, in fact, form a sort of a small box in front of the 18-yard box to prevent any forward penetrating runs. So sometimes it's a thankless job because you do a hell of a lot of running, and sometimes it's just positional running rather than doing anything fantastic when you're defending.
Yeah, it's occupying space or cutting off passing lines.
And attacking-wise, I guess they're the conduits. Those two players are the conduits that we're looking at a lot of the time when we come forward from our two or our five, our fullback. So Well, I guess most of the time we were looking at, can we get a diagonal ball from one of the fullbacks into one of those guys?
Yes.
If they've got space, can they then turn and lay it to the opposite winger, or do they then do a dump pass back to the three and the four, which then we could maybe go long or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So again, they were very, very busy in attack, those two, and we had two really, really fantastic players. We had Krista Hagen join us from Western Creek last year, and she was absolutely outstanding for us. She was just a little ever-ready battery person working in the middle of the midfield.
Mm.
And we had Catherine Brown, who, again, was probably better suited being a left winger or a left fullback, but we certainly needed Catherine to cover that other spot, and she was absolutely magnificent and doing some, did a great job for us in that position.
Well, that's the midfield motoring, and now we come to the front three, and just to make sure the listener gets the picture right here, you're really looking for this front three, the forward part of the 4-3-3 to work. You're really looking at those front three being nice and wide.
Well, that was most of what we were trying to do, and again, we were saying we were going to really, really go attacking, trying to play attacking football. So we wanted to stay fairly high and wide, and that way other teams had to leave their defensive players to mark them.
Yeah.
Many teams, and at times we did, and when we're playing real, when we're under the cosh a little bit, sometimes those players would then have to draw into the midfield, and you might be playing more of a 1-4-5-1.
Yep.
But on a whole, we wanted them to get wide and high and stay there. And, I guess having our triangle pointing forward, our 10 would interplay with our 9 a fair bit, and then we could get the other interplay between those players coming off the other two midfielders or with the fullback. So, again, it was trying to keep teams as honest as we could. And I guess the idea is that if you're playing against an opposition that's playing 4 at the back and 2 of them generally be marking you 9, we were virtually one-on-one all the time with our high and wide wingers.
Mm.
We certainly encourage them to say, if you're one-on-one, take people on. Let's get in behind them, whip balls over. So that was really the idea, was to back our wingers in a one-on-one confrontation. And again, that seemed to work for us in most occasions.
And it does cause agony for back fours, because just about everyone runs a back four. Even when they run a back three, the one in front swerving isn't that far away.
Correct, yeah.
It's a desperate headache for a back four or a back three, isn't it? If you've got the two wide players there.
If you've got the two wide players up there and they're pushed up there all the time, then you've always got them on the hop a little bit.
Yeah.
Again, you have to change your tactics depending on what's happening in midfield. It means your midfielders have to be, your triangle has to really, really work hard to sometimes maintain possession, because at times they're going to be outnumbered.
Mm.
But if you've got quality players in there and you can really pass the ball and play well, you actually can get teams napping by the fact that you've got 3 versus 4 in the attacking zone.
If we just talk about that moment of transition from the time you have the ball and you're playing forward and it's got to the front layer, let's say it's got to the number 10, and all of a sudden there's a turnover ball. What actions are you expecting from that left and right forward player to do in transition? How far are they allowed to exploit back in defence? What are your expectations?
Well, again, we're asking our players actually to read the situation. And I guess sometimes if you lose the ball high on the left, then at times you might, and again, it's depending on how strong the team is you're playing, but if you're playing a quality team, then you might expect your opposite winger to drop in a little bit and maybe support some of the midfield if they can get back in there.
Yeah.
So again, we're hoping that our fullback on that side will get out early and try and help defend with that winger to try and win the ball back. Look, we're a team that wants to win the ball high up. We want to press and we want to try and win the ball back up high. We don't want to let teams come at us. We really think that if we can, win the ball back in those positions, then we can get forward even quicker. So I guess we're a side that looks to, and again, part of that's because we're young and we're exuberant and our kids, they just want to keep running. So we've tended to run with that and say, well, if we can win the ball high, let's press high and try and win it up there. So again, the wingers and what they have to do, we tend to leave them up to them a little bit, but there'll be times when you'll ask that opposite winger to tuck in if we've lost the ball and try and actually just give us a little bit of extra strength in that midfield if we need it.
Well, that's the short masterclass on the 1-4-3-3 and the way Woden Valley Women's Football Club plays it. And I think
let me tell you, we've got a long way to go to mastering it yet.
Oh,
I think we're looking at it as a fairly much a three-year type of project, and we're certainly in the early stages, but it is an attractive way of playing football, and we did play some very good football, and we're hoping to progress from that a little bit more this year, and maybe we can even do it slightly better than what we've done previously.
But don't the players like it? When they get into it, don't they like it?
They really do appreciate it now, and they can play it. And again, mate, it really depends on it's a difficult system to play if you're playing on a really poor pitch.
Ah, yes.
Because
true.
It just makes things much harder. So again, with the advent of having, you know, playing games at Hawker and McKellar and the Willows, I mean, it really suits our team to play in those pitches. You know, we certainly love playing on those fields all the time. So having the grand final, I think that really suited us at Hawker. You know, whereas Bill Wesson may have suited them playing on, you know, a little bit more of a, you know, not so even surface.
Yes, indeed. It's important to dwell on the organisational aspects of what you've achieved at Woden, because mobilising three teams and five coaches and a whole bunch of effort doesn't come cheap in terms of human effort. What are the key resources here going forward?
Well, I guess it's having the coaching staff ready to do a little bit more than what's just being normally seen as being normal, and I think all of the staff have gone well and truly above and beyond in terms of meetings, in terms of going that little bit further in player preparation. All of the staff we've had have been prepared to do that little bit more, and I guess that's the hard thing. You have to find those people that want to do more than just enough.
Yep.
And you've really got to keep pushing yourself. And if you turn around and, I mean, it's the old saying, if you keep doing what you always did, you'll always get what you always got. So you're always looking at trying to improve and what can you do better. And we're sitting down as a coaching staff now. We've already had a couple of meetings for next year looking at, you know, player retention and that those type of things, and saying, well, how can we do it better? What's our, you know, where do we go from here? How can we improve? And not just necessarily in a football sense, in a total sense, in terms of how we manage players, provide players, you know, is there a better way of doing things, of training, you know, all those sorts of things that we're looking at and trying to do better. So I think the thing is that you've just got to have the enthusiastic people that want to keep going and trying to lift the quality of what you do. I think if I'm going to ask more of my players, then I need to be giving them more in terms of better quality coaching, in better quality equipment, in medical resources, in organisational resources. And if I provide those things from them, then to them, then I can expect more from them as a coach, and I can say, well, you know, you need to improve, and you can ask them to do that. And if you can't provide those things to players, well, players will just go, well, I'll just turn up and just do my same old.
Well,
and for the game to be better, particularly in the women's game, we've got to do more. Everyone's got to do more.
It's true, isn't it? And at some point, this requires a bit more organisation, a little bit more expertise, and a bit more money.
Certainly, and as you well know, Woden's not a rich club, so we do. There was plenty of barbecues and fundraising last year, and we'll be doing the same thing again to provide some of the things that we need. And that's just the way football is. I mean, I'd like to, I'd love to have the facilities that Bill Connan have, and what a fantastic club they are, and the facilities that they've got. And Woden, you know, would aspire to be anywhere near that. That would be fantastic for us. But, you know, they're the people that you're chasing in those sort of off-field things. And, you know, again, I look at our home pitch at Woden Valley, and Woden Enclosed is a really good pitch at the beginning of the year, but towards the end of the year, there's that much football played on it. It's a pretty ordinary surface.
Certainly is,
You know. Can our club start fundraising or somehow look to get a an artificial pitch put in at Mawson? And they're the sorts of things that we need going forward, that we need as a football club to catch up to some of the clubs like Deakin and the Bill Connors.
And I think you're right there. I think you've got to start with the surface.
It's so important.
It is. So important. It is. And it just seems to me, just picking off Woden Enclosed as an example, it's almost the perfect location. It's storybook stuff for an artificial surface and some stands, you know, like a little boutique ground.
Well, a little boutique ground, it would be perfect there, absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
And I mean, one thing I must give Capital Football credit for, they changed the way they ran the games this year. They put all three teams together.
Yes.
Rather than having the 18s playing away, which has made a huge difference for us. They listened to us last year when we had a whinge about playing on really poor grounds, and they've done their absolute best to get us on good quality pitches. There isn't that many of them, but they've done their best to do that, and, you know, on a whole, they have done that for us. They've listened to what we've asked them for. So
that's good football administration, isn't it?
Oh, well, it certainly is. It just has improved the quality of the league playing on the better grounds. And so,
you know,
full marks to them. They've listened to us this year. And it really has helped all teams play better brand of football because they're playing on the better pitches. You know what I mean? To play on Hawker or the Willows or McKellar, or, you know, they're good places to play football. And, certainly it helps the women's game.
And it got it in alignment with the men's game, which meant that you could go to a Premier League women's fixture and you could watch 18s, reserves, first grade.
Yep. Correct. It was perfect. It was perfect. The year before, it was just disjointed. It was the first year of the 18s.
Yeah.
And now I think they've got the format pretty well spot on.
Yep.
And particularly the other thing was the addition of a couple more teams to give us a 21-game competition, which is what we needed. A 15-game competition wasn't enough. We certainly weren't playing enough games. And I know there's a couple of coaches that aren't happy with the extra games, but I tell you, I think it's been absolutely brilliant. It's really shown the teams that you know, have the depth and everything to keep going for those 21 rounds.
Well,
and we've certainly been pushed, having a lot of our kids away at nationals at schoolgirls at times. So it's pushed us and made us work really hard, but I really do like the 21-game format.
You've effectively got three rounds against each team.
Yeah, correct.
Perfect. I mean, absolutely perfect, because, you know, again, if I liken it to the men's side, the best they can get is 18 games. Junior football, you get 14 games. It just isn't enough.
It's not enough games.
No.
So for us going forward...
It's not a full season, is it?
No, it's not. And again, I guess what we're looking for at Woden, and I guess every club is probably trying to do the same thing, we're trying to give the facilities and help players to get to that next level.
Yep.
If they're going to get to the next level, they need to be playing football. They need to be playing games. And as you say, 14, 15 games isn't enough.
No.
And we need the longer season. So I think, again, Capital Football need to be applauded for raising the number of games. And obviously that makes things harder for them because they've got to find more referees for more parts of the season. You know, it's harder for them to do that, but I certainly think they've done the right thing by the Women's League by playing those extra games.
I know we're talking generally, but it certainly applies to the women's game as it does to the men's. It's the same problem, if I can put it that way, to be resolved.
Oh, well, you have a look at our National League, and unfortunately, I mean, and it's fantastic that we have a National League going for women, but look how many games they play in a season, and again, it comes down to money and distance and all those things, but, you know, it's difficult for our top-ranked women to get any better when they're not playing game after game after game of high quality.
Mate, they get 12 games in the season.
And that's not enough games.
No.
If you look at what's happening overseas, and we're miles behind in that. And again, it comes down to money and the distance and everything that we have between our clubs. It's just difficult to run that sort of competition. But and that's why it's even more important for us at this level, you know, where we are in Premier League here in Canberra, to be playing as many games as we can to give these players as much opportunity to get better.
Yeah. Now, could I ask you something else? We just stepped through the season. You've got a system rolling there that is conducive to good football. Now, one of the inputs into this season, of course, was the return of ACTAS players.
Yep.
I know we've spoken briefly about it before. Have you had pause to reflect on that since the grand final?
Well, I guess if Ray Joyner didn't allow the ACTAS players back in the competition, we'd have a big hole in our team, because I think we had five starters who were ACTAS players playing for us. And again, there's other ACTAS players playing in other clubs, but we probably had the biggest majority of them. Again, I think that's one of the things with Woden. They've got a good junior system, and they will continue to probably produce a lot of good young players.
Yep.
But for us, it's been absolutely fantastic. I think for the league, it's been better. Not only the ACTAS players, but there's been some quality W League players coming into the league. So Caitlin Munoz was back playing this year.
Yes, yeah.
Mate, it was just fantastic for my young kids to play against one of the world's greatest players and to turn around and go, how are we going to shut Munoz down? What are we going to do?
Yes.
Shoot from anywhere. And all the discussions. And then to go out there and actually try and apply those things. And the only way you're going to get better as a player is to play against better players. And, you know, we love it when we have to play against players like that because that's where we learn. That's where we get better. So the addition of all those players, again, helped us because, you know, we had five of them. It does make it a little difficult in coaching terms because generally they're playing so much football that they can't train with you. So you end up only having five or six of your first team playing, training with you. But, look, you know, we're quite prepared for that and we don't have a problem with that because, again, we're looking at, you know, providing that vehicle to get those players to the next level. So if we have players that play for ACTAS, we figure they're getting better coaching at ACTAS than what they're getting at Woden. So it's all the better for us. It's been certainly fantastic for the competition.
Yeah, and it's an interesting point you make there because it emphasises the usefulness of the strategy of employed with all three grades playing the same system and style of play and getting across the same training regime.
Oh, 100%. So, you know, I mean, it was interesting talking to some of our kids that went to Nationals because it was, you know, they were playing the same system at Nationals and the Woden girls just knew it straight away where they had to do a fair bit of the coaching staff, apparently had to do a bit of educating with a couple of the other clubs that just weren't used to playing that pattern of play.
Yep.
So it was, you know, again, we're happy with that system and we'll certainly stick with it next year.
That's terrific. If we just look down a level from the Woden Senior Club down into the Junior Club, what are your links back there? How are you managing those links into the Junior Club?
Okay, well, obviously it's important for us to have ties with our Junior Club. During the year, there's a number of coaching sessions where we actually get our 16s and our 14s to come up and train with us two or three times a year so that they get to see what it's like at that next level.
Mm.
We this year trying to get some of our players to be involved in mentoring maybe some of these younger teams. Some of the girls don't have time to actually be coaches, but we're trying to get some of them involved in groups two to threes to actually be involved in maybe picking a team that they can go down and help. We did a fair bit of that last year where we went down and helped with some development days with some of the development programs they had. And again, the juniors did the good thing and came and watched us play and were, you know, were ball girls for us and on the same day. So we certainly, it really is important for us to have these ties. I mean, I guess some of our players, when you have a look at them, I think we had two 13-year-olds playing in our under-18s this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're looking at trying to draft these players in, you know, the ones that are quality players that need to be playing at a high level.
Mm.
We're drafting them in at that 13, 14 years of age into our 18s. So it really is important that we stick together. At the same time, we've spoken to our 14s and our 16s coaches about, you know, playing the 1-4-3-3 so that they know exactly what we're doing.
Yep.
So that when we get players that now come into our 18s, they've got a little bit of an idea how to play this system as well, and it's not all brand new to them.
Yeah.
So I think that that's really, really important for us as a club at Woden. One of the difficulties that we're probably going to have is finding places for a lot of our players, and I guess that's a nice place to be, but I mean, I'm quite ready for a number of our players who probably played reserve grade this year who could well and truly may have made first grade in a number of other clubs who may leave us.
Yeah, it's
I guess that's a nice problem to have in that you've got lots of cattle all the time, but you certainly got to somehow make those opportunities for those talented young kids coming through.
Oh, it's the ultimate compliment, mate. Yeah.
Well, what it does is it puts pressure on everyone in our league.
Doesn't it?
You know, even if you're in Premier League reserve grade, you've got to be playing really well because there's some young kid in under-18s coming up, and the 18s know there's some young kid in the 16s or the 14s that's going to be taking their spot. So all in all, that's very, very healthy, all that competition.
Mistraining at your peril.
Well, yep, that's it, yeah.
But the reason I'm sort of picking this apart is to illustrate to the listener. Now, I know, and this is not criticism of any other club, Premier League or junior club in women's football, because there's so many people and all volunteers doing such fantastic work. But just last night at the Summer 20s, a coach from the Women's Premier League was yarning to me and pointed out to me as we were watching the young fellas go around that, speaking to him, he'd had a terrific season. And his point of reflection was instructive. He said, yeah. He said, but Woden had it right. He said, we always had problems bringing players up and putting players down. He said, because each coach was doing his own thing with his own little group of players.
Yeah, and you can't do that when you're running a squad. I mean, we meet as a coaching staff, and we have all five coaches pick all three grades, and we sit down and we debate, and for whatever reason we move players around. But we're, you know, and there's certainly some healthy debate in our coffee club meetings, but, you know, when we come out of those, we're all, that's the way we're going, and we all stick together in our decisions. And, you know, you do need to be able to do that. You can't have one team going in one direction and another going in another. You do need to have this unified front.
Yeah. Definitely. And if I just quote, I won't name the coach concerned, but he's a damn good coach. His other point of reflection in relation to women's football, I thought, as he reflected on it himself, I thought was also instructive. He said, look, we were having a discussion, probably a heated debate, actually, the way he was describing it, at part the way through the season, towards the end of the season. It was in relation to how they were playing and indeed how Woden was playing. And the comment was made to him, well, what's wrong? I mean, you know, what's wrong with the players? We're playing, this is, we were going okay last year. This is still going okay. So more or less the same players. And his point was, well, it wasn't so much that what they had done, it's what the other club had done. And you change, you move on, don't you?
Well, again, you've got
is that making sense?
You've got to be trying to look to do more than what you did the year before.
That's it.
Otherwise, you're standing still. And there's so many things that we can improve on in women's football in the ACT. We've just scratched the surface. And then clubs need to find those people that really do want to go to that next level with their teams. Otherwise, they will get left behind by maybe the Wodens and the Bell Wests of the world.
Yeah.
So, you've got to get in there and do some work. It's Premier League. We're two layers off playing for Australia here.
That's it.
A Mickey Mouse League. I mean, you go from ACT Premier League to W League to playing for the Matildas. So, we're playing for some reasonably high stakes here. So,
yeah, that's actually a very good point to make for the listener. This is just two layers down from the national teams.
It's certainly different from Premier League men's, where you've got to get to, the next level being A-League status and et cetera. But, we're very, very close. And you can see that there's Caitlin Munoz is in that team, and she's playing in the local league. So, there's clear evidence that the pathway is there.
Gee. Well, having had some time to think about next season and having had a couple of meetings with your general staff, what's one change you're going to make for 2011?
Well, I guess one of the changes...
No-one's listening, mate. No-one's listening. We can talk secrets here.
in terms of playing style, we're not going to change that. We're probably going to have a bit more emphasis in trying to... in playing the ball out a little bit better through midfield if we can, better than we did last year. There's certainly things that we need to work on there.
Mm.
And again, look, the other things that we're trying to change is the off-field procedural things. Can we do things better? Is our play... And probably our player communication wasn't as good as what it should have been in terms of if a player gets dropped, why are they dropped and what are the reasons? If a player gets elevated, why are they elevated and why are the reasons? And it's something that we've highlighted as an area, as a coaching staff, we need to do a better job, which is difficult when you've got 47 to 50 girls that you're trying to talk to.
Yeah.
But we certainly need to do better on that. We're still waiting for our review from our players committee, our players group, so we have a senior players group.
And, outstanding,
to do a review on us and giving us the feedback on, well, what did we do good, what did we do bad, what do we need to improve on. So we'll certainly take on board what our player group has got to say to us as well. So it's still early days, but certainly in terms of football, we'll be looking to be a little bit better through that midfield area in controlling the ball and playing out further again from the back.
What an outstanding season, Ed.
Well, we had some luck. And the ball bounced our way in the end, and the result came our way in the end. But I'm sure Bell West and Bell Connon were certainly the sleeping giant, and I think we got a little lucky against them in the semi-final. Mm. We got a couple of early goals that they probably didn't deserve. They were a little bit lucky, so we got through them, but they are certainly the sleeping giant of the competition, and I expect them to be strong. And I think the challenge is probably with the other traditional club, Western Creek, to revitalise itself a little bit. I think they're probably in the rebuilding process at this point in time, but you know, Western Creek always give you a hard game. And, you know, Tuggeranong were an absolute fantastic addition to the competition.
Weren't they just, yeah.
They were, you know, they were brilliant. I didn't think they would do as well as they did, and typical Tuggeranong team, really hard to beat. And if you give them a sniff, that, you know, they really made you work hard for all your wins, that's for sure. And, you know, in saying that, I think that Brindabella will be better off for their first season. It's obviously been a very, very tough season for them, but, you know, they'll get better, and hopefully the competition as a whole will improve.
Well, that's outstanding. I've no doubt, talking to people around the traps, that the model you've instituted at the Woden Valley Women's Football Club has lifted the bar, and newer teams will hop on to what they see working, and others readjust. If they don't readjust, they, as you say, they leave themselves at risk of lagging behind.
Well, I think, in all honesty, a lot of people complain about women's football, that's boring, but if you witnessed that grand final, that was probably one of the best games of women's football I've seen, and both sides were in with a shot. Both sides played some great physical football, and there was some, you know, a ton of skill showed there. It was a great game of football, you know, a 5-3 result where it wasn't over until the last sort of 4 or 5 minutes. Yeah. I think people need to come out and watch some of these games, and they'll see that there's some quality football being played in the ACT.
Well, I'd have put my hand in my pocket to pay to watch that one, but I'd have wanted my money back for the men's grand final. That's how I feel about it. But anyway, that's another story. Ed, fantastic season.
Thanks,
a work in progress, I know, but and you're on a three-year strategic
plan.
And this is all for the benefit of the players. And well done to you and your coaching staff and support staff. It doesn't come without a lot of effort. Well done, mate. Look forward to next season already.
Well, we thank you for your support, just in terms of giving us some coverage and things. That's fantastic and great for the women's game.
No, thanks, mate. See you around.
Bye, mate. No worries, mate.
You have been listening to the Near Post Local on 2XXFM, where too much football or futsal is never likely to be enough. Football and futsal in the capital region. Go to the podcast for this program at www.nearpostlocal.blogspot.com. You will find a lot of interesting interviews and items there for the discerning football or futsal tragic. Enjoy your futsal and football. See you next time. Ta-da.
Round and round, up and down, through the streets of your town.